So good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Talking Early Years. I've got another really fascinating guest who's got a really good story to tell. And one of the big things that I'm going to ask you to do is guess how many languages this guy speaks and which do you think he comes from originally? Because I have got my own views on this, which we've had much joy in the early conversations with him. I'm going to introduce you to Salas, and he's going to tell you his story, and I'm hoping that it'll intrigue you and interest you and that you'll want to follow him as a consequence, because he touches on some very big issues in his work, not least kindness and empathy, which is something that's really powerful in the early years. So I'm not going to really say any more, but to introduce Salas, to introduce himself to us, tell us his story, and then hopefully he's got a kind of ask for you at the end so you can engage with him onwards. Over to you, Salas, and thank you very much for agreeing to be on this podcast with me.
Hi, June. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. I was looking forward to this podcast, in fact, and then this is actually my second podcast, but the other one wasn't as big as this one. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on this podcast. My name is Salas, and I was born in Guinea-Bissau, a small town called Kanchungu. I'm not sure many people have heard of it, but yeah, it's a very small town in Kanchungu. So I grew up in Kanchungu till around 7-8 years old when I moved to Portugal, Lisbon. So I spent about 10-15 years in Portugal, and then I came to London after that. But my journey throughout it was a hell of a journey in a good way. It was a good journey. I've learned so many things throughout this journey, and so many languages also throughout this journey. So yes, currently living in London.
And one of the things you've done, I mean, you've done many things. I think our readers and our audiences would like to, I'm just going to start that again from my peer. So you have done very many things in your career, and your journeys, I think, are really interesting. Do you want to just tell that wonderful story that's now been translated into a book for our audience?
Thank you. This project's called Worker to Help. This actually, I've done many, many projects before, but this was one of the biggest one and the one that actually I'm most passionate about. It's called Worker to Help. Worker to Help actually started during the pandemic. And it wasn't even called Worker to Help at the time, because I didn't even know it would become this big, and it become this project that it is right now. During the pandemic, when the pandemic started, I was working at the time, I'm still working currently in Nando's as a manager. And then when they mentioned there will be a lockdown at the time, I thought, oh my God, what am I gonna do now? And then I was more worried about not being able to go to the gym. And I was like, what am I gonna do? And then on my way to the gym, I had this idea about, and then I thought, I'm gonna tell my friends about this crazy idea that I have. And I go back to work and I told them, listen, why don't we get together online, and I train you online, and then we do it 3 times a week. We get to see each other, spend some time, check on each other. And then everyone agreed to it. And it was just about 10, 15 of us. And everyone just, yes, we started on Monday, and then actually was on WhatsApp, and then everyone woke up and showed what they had for breakfast, what it was having, and it was just such a lovely environment, because everyone was ready for Salas to run the workouts, and we had this 30 minutes workouts, and then we would stretch, and so on, and then that's how we started. And then we moved it to the Zoom platform, because more people start to join in. Friends of friends heard about it. Everyone wanted to be a part of it. Different parts of the world at the time. And then I remember after like 2-3 months, obviously we at that time we went back to work, and I was doing also carry on doing it. And I remember at the time when many people started to join in and some of my friends left because they had to carry on working. They didn't have much time. And then I remember people asking me, Salas, we need to pay you for this because this is too good to, yeah, and then you put so much effort into this workout. So we need to pay you. I said, no. I didn't start this because of the money. For me, it was just about bringing people together, spending time, because some of my friends live by themselves. For me, it was just like connecting and getting that, not just mentally, but physically as well, getting that, being healthy and interact and build that community for us to kind of interact and check on each other. And a couple of days later, I was speaking to my sister. She was back in Guinea-Bissau, and then she told me the markets are shut down and then people really struggling. And then that's what she told me. And then I remember in the evening, I was thinking, these people want to pay. And then my sister's telling me, so many people in need, like we're talking about really need the essentials and they have nowhere to go to. And I went back to the group and then I told them, listen, why don't we do one thing? Since you guys want to pay, we can donate every 3 months. You feel like you paying, we donate to and send it to a different country that where people really need it. And everyone just like, yes, Alice, let's do that. And then we started with my home country, Guinea-Bissau. And we managed to reach out and help so many people in there. And then that's picked up. And then we went Cape Verde, we went Brazil, we went so many countries and touched so many people. And it was a great feeling. And then the clothing line came after that. And then after 1.5 years, I thought, I have an idea. And then I want to put this into a book. At the time I was thinking about cartoons, how can I show people you can actually live in London and help people everywhere in the world? Mm. How can I actually show that? And I was speaking to a friend of mine, and then she meant to do the illustration while I tell the story, but then she couldn't do it. I was like, I'm not gonna give up on this idea. And I thought, you know what, I'm gonna write the story down and then put it into a book. Later on, we can put this into cartoons later. So that's when my friend, I had a friend of mine called Eva, I told her about it. And then she said, why don't we do it together? I said, perfect, let's do this together. And we started the story then at the time. And then we had this brilliant idea. It's like, I was telling her, like, I want this story to be like, exactly as the workout to help how we started. And then based on real facts, based on real stories, because also my upbringing wasn't as easy as it sounds. And on that note, Abdul in the book is a little bit of me about my upbringing. So this is how the book started.
You know, for our readers who have, for our listeners who haven't read your book yet, which I will put a link to on our blog, so make it easy for people to get to. Young Abdul is having a bit of a tough time and he is experiencing some bullying. And you are there sort of to guide him and support him. How much do you think that relates to children like everywhere? Now, you're living in London now, but you lived in Portugal, you traveled to Brazil, you're from Guinea-Bissau, you know, like how is that a kind of almost in a global story? And how do you think that was, you know, your the rationale for developing Abdul as a character came from maybe your values and your, you know, your natural instinct towards what would be fairness, in my view?
Thank you for asking me this question, because I think it's very important for people to understand, and also the readers, the people that are going to be reading this book. Because I think, personally, it's based on my because that's how I felt growing up. Because I was bullied in Guinea-Bissau, and I had the same or even worse experiences in Lisbon, in Portugal at the time. So I know how that feels. I want parents to kind of, when they read these books to their children, it brings that bridge, that connectivity, that it brings them together, because they will be talking about serious in important issues, because that could be happening to anyone, anywhere in the world, in any other city, because I think these issues are sometimes global. It's not just in particular countries or cities. That's why it's very important to acknowledge this and be having that conversation with the parents. This book brings that closeness. And it's very complex also, because it speaks about real facts. It's based on real stories. And so, yes, that's why it's very important to put this in writing and give examples what happened. And then I've been through it, so I know how it feels.
And, you know, in the book also, there is this lovely image. And I really urge our readers to look at this book, because it's very, very sweet. And the illustrations are wonderful. They're very connecting. But there is this, I've forgotten which page it's on now, but you get into a camper van and you go off with your friend Nico, and off you go. How much of that is true, Salas?
So it's, it's, people may think it's fiction, but it's not. This is based on true story, because me and Nico went on holidays to Peru last year, and we traveled to Peru, and I was telling Nico, listen, we were working to help brand around here. I'm thinking, how can we connect to people around here and go to local places and find out really how people feel? If there is people that actually really need the help that we may able to be able to provide. And then Nico said, yes, let's do this. Actually, we rented a car. It wasn't a van at the time. It was a car. And then so Nico said, yes, let's do it. Why not? And then Nico goes, how are we going to do it, Salas? I said, don't worry about it. I will figure out. And I remember asking in the hotel, so one of the receptionists, and then I asked him, do you know anyone or anybody that needs help, like really needs help? And then he goes to me, yes, I do. There's actually, I know 3 families that actually need help. I was like, we would love to do that, because we have a project that we actually dedicate ourselves to actually help people. And then he said, okay, don't worry. When do you want to do it? I said, can we do it now? He said, no, wait until tomorrow, son, as a list. I said, cool. And what time? And then we booked the time, and then we went to visit these 3 families. There were these ladies in Peru that actually, you know, their daughters was looking after them. And I remember this lady in Peru holding my hand. And then I don't think I felt like that in any way. It was just such an experience. I was heartbroken for two days while in Peru. So we drive around land and then connect with his family. We managed to, you know, help the families, the 3 families that we go in touch with. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. So this story is the van, and all of this is based in real facts.
And I hope someone from the BBC, CBBS, is listening to you here to actually kind of convert this into a program, because it's got so many moral depths to it, but in told in a very kind of upbeat. You can hear, I mean, you know, you don't have to see Salas, who's got a great smile and very warm sort of engagement here, but actually you can hear in his voice the kind of, you know, the kind of experience of empathetic sharing and warmth as well. And so do you think that you know, being born and brought up in Africa before you moved, and something about the culture of the experience and your upbringing has kind of embedded in you that kind of want to do more for others than necessarily for yourself, and sort of the sort of willingness to share of yourself, and actually to force your friends to share of themselves as well, but then convince them that they actually do want to go across the world and raise money for everybody under the sun. Do you connect that? Because there's some really negative stories about other parts of the world, and there's negative stories about people from different cultures at the moment. The world's very unsettled. And so stories like yours are really binding. and like show the power of the individual, because I think a lot of people feel the system is so big and so overwhelming that you can't do anything. Yet I remember Muhammad Yunus, one of the great social entrepreneurs, saying, you know, if you're not actually, you know, if indifference is the enemy. So like, start somewhere, and you clearly have started somewhere. So I'm just wondering about where did this energy come from? Where did this kind of power and warmth come from, that sort of bubbling out of you or every kind of everywhere?
Thank you for asking me that question. I think it's very important, because the thing is, I grew up within a big family. We are seven siblings. And the thing is, I remember my mom counting the grapes, because the thing is, you go to the fridge, pick up the grapes, you eat as much as you want. But I remember my mom counting the grapes. She was just like, three for you, three for you, three for you. And this kind of stuff, I think that's what actually made us come together and also brought a lot about giving and helping to other people. Because I also saw my dad doing a lot of that, helping other people. And then I also, like, my biggest role model is my sister, Awa. She was always this person that was loving, caring, hugging, always looking after us. And then just like, I think I had the biggest role model in the world. And I always look up to her. And I think it always helped me do much more and do better for the world. So growing up in Africa and having the experience in Lisbon as well, I think helped me to become a person that wants to help, because I know how it feels on the other side when you need the help and no one is there. Or now that I help others, how it feels to actually help someone. I think it's a great feeling when you can get to do that for other people as well.
And Workout to Help, is that still going on? Are you still doing those fitness classes or not now?
The online workouts are no longer happening. I stopped them because the thing is, realistically, it wasn't possible anymore, because I was doing so many things at the same time. And then they used to donate in the beginning, and then that when I stopped it. But I did over 400 workouts for free, online workouts. Yeah, I used to have three classes a day. It was the main class, the children. I had some children online as well that I used to train. And I also had older people as well, that the average age was 62. And then we used to have so much fun. And then it was so much fun online. So right now what we do is just like, I have the clothing brand that generates income. And that's why where we use the money actually to from the clothing line, the profit to help the families and help around the world.
And your clothing line is t-shirts, and tell us more about that and where people can access it.
Is on our web, is on our Instagram page right at the top. Is on Shopify at the moment. We're working on a website at the minute. It has all different things. It has hoodies for children, has t-shirts, has shorts, has socks. It's a variety of like casual wear, which is online, a very good quality also.
And are they made, like, what's the story with them then? So the portion of money goes back to your charity, or the profit, how do you play it out?
The profit until today, 100% of the profit went to help people around the world until today. So what I want to do in the future is to be able to grow this and be able to make much more difference in people's lives, is to do one project a year and use the money to actually build Workout to Help and to have a very good structure and have people to be able to make this really go forward, and be with that will make a bigger impact on people's lives.
So I mean, for example, one of my friends runs Fashion Enter, which is a social enterprise factory, and they use all sorts of sustainable sources, like, you know, end of roll fabrics, printing with no water and stuff. and they, like, if they generate any profit is regenerated within their business for staffing, staff who need training, and, you know, they spread it out in the nature of a social enterprise, I guess. It sounds to me a bit like would be helpful for you to connect with some of these other places to kind of help your logistical journey, I guess, to and distribution, which is going to be a bigger issue for you. Are you involved in that kind of network at the moment?
I am looking into it, but I would appreciate help for sure, because I don't have a team. It's just me, myself, and I. And when I ask friends, but I would definitely, I'm looking into it with my brother. I asked my brother to look into it. And I would appreciate anyone that comes with those ideas, because I would love to be a part of it.
Okay. So just to conclude then, Salas, I mean, what do you want, like, from anyone listening now? If you had a magic wand, what would you aim for, and what can people do to help you, apart from people buying the book and obviously buying the merchandise? But, you know, effectively, how do you want to change things? Like, what's the way you want to go with this?
Thank you for the question. I think it's very important for me personally. People always ask me, but Salas, what if World Cartel become millionaire? I don't think that's the aim for me. My most important thing for me right now, and will always be, is how can I change people's lives? How can I do what I do right now in a bigger scale? How can I go to some of these countries, for example, the ladies in Peru, and go and, like, for example, be able to provide them with a wheelchair, and be able to actually repair their house, like we did with the most recent help we managed to do was in Republic of Dominican. This family didn't have a front door, which was completely broken. The windows also, we managed to actually renovate, get them a brand new door, get them windows, now they're safer. So I would like to take a workout to help. And also for the listeners, I would like to anyone that listening to be able to join us to do more, because I think workout help is all about kindness and how can we make this world a better place. For me, that's the most important thing.
Okay, on that note then, what I'll do is I'll make sure the link to your Instagram is in there and the link to your book is in there, so to make people easier for people. And I would say thank you very much for giving up your time to talk about this. I love quirky stories, and I think there's so many negative stuff that comes out of the COVID story that people forget the good stories that, you know, come out as well. There's some very good stories, and you're one of them. And if you can build something up into it in the future, then actually, you know, we can actually create something, like, you can create something really, I don't know, really, like, life-changing for people, but also great leadership for other people to see how it's possible, especially young men who often, I think, are a little bit lost these days. So thank you again, and I'm going to press stop now. But before I go, to anyone listening out there, go on Buzzsprout, give us a star, press I like these podcasts, do what you can. And then if you go on Twitter and follow me, that would be really wonderful, because then I will open that up for Salas as well. So you're doing two for one. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like what you heard, please share it or check us out on our website, leaf.org.uk.